We're eventually going to get to Revelation 19, the very end of it. But I meet on Wednesday afternoon, a fellow named Greg that came forward a few Sundays ago. He has a whole lot of questions. And so we meet from 2 to 3. And he had questions on Romans chapter 2. And verses 5 through 10 and 11. I said, well, in order to understand chapter 2, you have to go back to chapter 1. So I turned to Romans chapter 1, and you're going to, I thought, not only at the time of the Antichrist, but also today, why we're in such a mess and where we're going. Romans chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 16, 17, and 18. Romans chapter 1, 16, 17, and 18. Because you have to, it's like I told him, chapter 1, 2, and 3 deals with sin. Chapter 4 and 5 deals with salvation. And chapter 6 through 8 deals with what's called sanctification. Then the sovereignty of God is seen in verse chapters 9 through 11. And then 12 to the end, we talk about service and where we're supposed to fit within the body of Christ. Of course, he didn't get any of that. And neither did you, so that's okay. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 talks about sin. And then you're going to know that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then when you get to Romans 6, 7, and 8, it's a warfare and the struggle that we have. It's a very practical section because in Romans chapter 7, beginning of verse 15 and following, the good that I would I do not, the harder I try, the worse I do. And when I would do good, evil's always present with me. And so you'll find that the me that's in myself dwells no good thing. But the other thing he goes on to say, now after the inner man, I delight to do the law of God. But there's another principle, warring against my members, bringing me into captivity. And the question then is that how are you going to have victory? Because he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be unto God who gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, but to those who walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. And so the Spirit of life in Christ sets me free from this body of sin and death. That's sanctification. We're talking about sin when you come to chapter 1. What's interesting about sin is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he talks about the gospel. And it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It doesn't matter who it is. And he starts out with the gospel. But then what he does, in order to get somebody saved, you have to get somebody lost. You have to be lost before you can get saved. And so then in chapter verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who hold not the truth. The truth goes back to the gospel that he has just presented. And the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. So I explained to the young man, I guess if you're over 50, you're young if you're old enough. But anyway, it's the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. And it's like I told him that all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, so it can't be me. How good do you have to be? You have to be perfect. And so we begin to talk about that, what we had last week, the difference between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. And he has that strange look on his face like you do a lot of times. And imputed means that at one time, to my account, it was sin. Who his own self bore our sin, that we might become the very righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so through the gospel, I became what he is, righteous. He became what I was, sin. And he bore my sin that I might have eternal life. That's the gospel, that's the good news. So it's imputed. Now when God looks at you, it's not whether you're going to get to heaven, but would God let Jesus into heaven? Because I'm in Christ. In Christ, I'm a brand new creation. And so as he looks, imputed righteousness is a judicial act that God declares when I receive the good news, God loves me, Christ died for me, and I believe it. The other side of it, though, is what I call imparted righteousness. Now, throughout every day, you'll have opportunities to choose or choose otherwise. And so, like I told the fellow today, early in my ministry, I made the statement, and I got reprimanded for it, so I keep saying it anyway. And the most natural thing for somebody to do when they first get saved is to sin. And somebody said, oh, you don't say that. It's a fact. If you've had, this guy's 65 years of age, he's had a whole long time of learning how to sin, and he doesn't know. It's kind of hard to not use the F word. It's not kind of hard not to use some of those other swear things that you did. At the time, you smack your thumb with a hammer. What do you think? Well, golly gee, no, not for 65 years. You've been saying something else. But what happens is when you hit your thumb, the righteousness that is imparted, he gives the ability for you not to say what you did. Also, you're going to notice, and I told him, is a decreasing pattern of sin. I never become sinless. I should sin less. And in this is the righteousness of God revealed. He talks about the wrath of God. Now, the question that I had then is that you stop, think about it. Everyone falls under this category of unrighteous. Then you begin to get down to some interesting passages. You're going to notice, and this is what I told the fellow today, that no matter where you are in the world, everybody believes in a God. You have to teach somebody to be an atheist. If you're in India, you may have Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism. Is your Eastern Oriental. You may have Muslim. You may have something. Everybody is religious. And so to be an atheist, like I said, it's impossible, because what you're saying is that all this came from nothing. So we'll get into that. So what he does, notice the two things that he says that God reveals himself. One is through the conscience, and the other is through creation. And that's what he starts out in verse 21 and 22. Everybody has this consciousness. I mean, whether you know it or not, because what he's going to say is, he says, because that which was known of God, see, notice this, the wrath of God revealed. That which is known of God is manifest in them. That's a key word. For God has shown it unto them. In other words, there is a God-shaped emptiness on the inside of everybody, no matter who you are. And there is a God consciousness. You say, well, I don't know about that. No matter where you're at in the world, no matter what culture you are, there's a right and a wrong. There's a wrong and a right. Well, where'd they get that? I mean, if there is no G-O-D, God, where do you have a consciousness that something is wrong? There's something on the inside of you that says it's not right. You can talk to an atheist, and you talk about child abuse or child neglect. Hell, that's just not right. Where'd you get that idea? You walk out on your family. Well, that's just not right. People that are lost will say that's not right, or there's something. So in the consciousness of man, there is a God-shaped emptiness. Then he goes on to say, and here's the other thing. He was writing, you have to realize this, he was writing before the invisible things are even known. Notice what he says about creation. He says then that the invisible things, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Whoa, how in the world does somebody that does not have a microscope, or somebody does not have a sonogram, or somebody that does not have I was going to ask Rick, how do they see kidney stones? A CAT scan. They didn't have that. Also, the invisible things of God. Now, we have a lot of those. You realize that if you have the DNA, that there shouldn't be anyone out there that believes in evolution? It's the invisible things. It's micromanagement. It's macromanagement. It's those things that are so small. Who in the world looks at a? Have you ever looked at water underneath a microscope? Bunch of little wiggly things. It's the invisible things that says that there must be a God. And so, but then he goes on to say, look at this. they're clearly seen, being understood what? By the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, and they're without excuse. So mankind in general has two things. One, there's a God. It's a worldwide thing. They believe in a God. There's a God consciousness whether they know Jesus Christ or not. The other thing is that he said through the invisible things. We have a whole bunch of invisible things that if you would actually look at them, see, like I said, it's impossible to be an atheist. Because either the invisible things came from nothing, but something always has to come from something. No, something cannot come from nothing. And what you're saying is that the whole evolutionary theory is based on something coming from nothing. He said, no, he says the invisible things are clearly seen. And they're without excuse. So you look at this thing and say, oh. And then he says, all the things that God has made. I love nature. I love creation. And he says, all of creation says the fingerprint of God. It's the invisible thing. What about the visible things? It's like I said, I love the eyeball. It's like the heart. It's the lungs. It's the liver. Can you imagine having a liver evolve? Can you imagine having a heart evolve? Can you imagine having a brain evolved? Well, I rest my case. It'd be good for some people to start in on this brain thing. But it can't evolve. It either is fully functioning, so it's through the things that are seen. Walk out there and explain all the green stuff that you have out there. It's an amazing thing. The leaves are falling off. I love this time of year, especially coming down the hill from Abnormalville down to Normalville. Well, that's where you guys are at. We go from the abnormal to the normal until you get to Bullskin Township, and then they go abnormal again. Do you realize that right now they're already the reason that the leaves fall off is because there are buds on the tree? You said, oh, I thought it was just because of the fall. No, there's buds on the tree, and they push off the dead leaves. So you say, oh, look at the buds. The buds are already there. You look at that's pretty cool. And then next spring you're going to see all kind of evidence that what happened looked like it's dormant in the wintertime. It's alive in the summertime. So he says, take a look at this world around you. He said, you're willfully ignorant that there's no God. There's no God. And so what happens is that he starts out to begin with, there's a God. Now, we have a whole society that's turned its back on G-O-D God. What they're trying to do in America is to do away with God. Because you think, well, that must be the Democrat or Republican. No, what's happening is that the whole system is trying to do away with God because G-O-D, God, messes up everything that's man-made. Now, here's what happens. What happens if a society or a man or a woman does away with God? You would think that you were reading the newspaper. Here's what happens. Because notice what happens. For this they're willfully ignorant. Because, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, they're neither thankful. So what happened? But became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves wise, they became fools. LGBTQ, I rest my case. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You can ask a six-year-old kid, can a male dog have puppies? Well, they'll look at you like you're crazy. It's just a female dog has puppies. Until you get to be about 37, 38 years of age, and you have three PhDs from Harvard. And you say, well, let me tell you, I don't know what a woman is. Ask a six-year-old kid, he'll tell you what a woman is. Why? What's the problem? Leave God out. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, so he gave them over to empty imagination. Our whole society is run now by science, empty imagination. And professing themselves wise, they became fools. I've never seen a society go down so quickly of people professing themselves to be wise. It's like, how did it happen? They just left God out. You see, if there is no G-O-D God, then all of this came from nothing. And so guess what? We're just the highest form of mammal. You mean we're not special? No, we're not special. Professing themselves, you mean you can abort a baby at 8 or 9 months and it's okay? Well, women have a right. Let me tell you, I know some of you here in this room here, probably you were born 7, 8, or 9 months along. And now we have somebody running for the Senate that says you can, it's a woman's right to take a child's life clear up till birth. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. What happened? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and they, guess what? This vain imagination took over. Empty thinking. And this empty thinking, like I said, we have within our society a picture of what it's like when you leave out G-O-D God. Everything you're going to see here is a picture of our society and what's happened when we as a society have left God out. Also, you're going to find that if you're an evangelical Christian, they're going to beat the fire out of you. Why? Because we are the problem. And the Bible is the problem. And if you have any type of standard, you are the problem. But the only thing that they're doing is that we believe there's a God. We believe that there's a God of creation and a God that deals with our conscience. And so man is not just the highest form of animal, otherwise he has no consciousness. And so if I'm not the highest form of animal, then I must be a special creation of some kind made in the image and likeness of God. You cannot have a conscience unless you have the image and likeness of God. If you don't believe it, take a look at some of these animal series in which a lion takes over a wildebeest. No conscience whatsoever. Take a look at it whenever a crocodile grabs a hold of that lion that's on the edge of the pond. He does not care. He'll no conscience whatsoever. Man has a conscience. And within that conscience, there is a right and there's a wrong. So it shows you there must be a God. Creation shows there must be a God. Now, when we saw this, man is very special, we said, well, there's no God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And guess what? Neither were thankful. Bunch of people that are, what you say, They're just not grateful. Ungrateful bunch of people. They're neither thankful. And so what happened? Notice then what happens, though. Let me tell you what God does. He doesn't come down and strike them all dead. Here's what God does. And you'll find that in the next verse. Professing themselves, changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image that was made like man. Whoa, humanism. And then also in some people birds, some people four-footed beasts and creeping things. So in other words, I come up with a God of my own design. And let me tell you who the God within America is. Humanism. Me. I determine what's right. I determine what's wrong. I determine when it's right. I determine when it's wrong. And I determine when you say it's right and when you say it's wrong. And if you disagree with me, then they'll shut you off. For instance, like my statement with the LGBTQ, it's called woke. But it's scientific. There is no such, you show me that there's more than two sexes. Show me. Even a person, no matter how much you do it, you have two X chromosomes, and guess what, you're a female. You have an XY, you're a male. And no matter how many drugs you take, no matter how many operations you take, you still have the same two sets of chromosomes. So, professing themselves wise, they became fools. Now, so here's what happened. God says, go ahead and do it. And so now we have to have a God. Everybody has a God. Even an atheist has a God. He will worship something. In this case, some are created like man. We are making our own rules, our own regulations. We are making our own laws. We're making our own system of how these laws work. And so what happens then? God says, go ahead. Realize there's a God-shaped emptiness in you, but go ahead. Now, he doesn't stop there, because now we're getting down to some real meaty stuff as you begin to go on down the next verses. Wherefore, That wherefore you leave God out? Wherefore? God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Uh-oh. Sex becomes the selling point. That's what he says. To dishonor their own bodies. And so what happens? You start out with heterosexual. But it gets really ugly. It can be man-boy relationships. It can be animal relationships. There's all kind of weird stuff going on. God says, okay, you want to find satisfaction? Go ahead. There's a God-shaped emptiness, but you won't recognize God, so just go ahead. And what has happened is our society is so focusing on sexual preference that they miss the person. They miss the person. There's a God-shaped emptiness on the inside of me. I may be a sexual creature, but sex is not my primary fulfillment nor function. If you don't believe it, here's my finger. Let's just focus on this rascal for the next 15 minutes. You say, well, boy, that's dumb. Let me tell you what society does. Let's focus on this for the next 6 months. Oh, especially through elections. Let's just take a look. That's crazy. But they said, God gave them over to it. You leave God out, and one of the first things that you're going to find is sexual perversion. That's what he says. Well, he doesn't stop there. I love it. Because then he gets down. Notice this. Wherefore, again, God gave them up. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie? Uh-oh. You mean what God says isn't true? That's right. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The truth is, one man, one woman for one lifetime, and the purpose is procreation. And guess what? We're supposed to pass on these things to the next generation. Lie. You really want to be happy? Be able to do anything you want with whoever you want at any time you want, and you'll be happy. Let me tell you, I'm an old man. I've seen people, when I was back in the day, they called it free love. People were miserable then. They're miserable today. And somehow we think that if we can just, oh, I know what. They worship the creature more than the creator. What do? We worship the creature more than the creator. It's all about me. What makes me happy? What I want to do when I want to do it, and who's going to stop me? What does God say? They exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they wonder why they're so miserable. He doesn't stop there. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. We started out to begin with, he just had uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. Now we come to vile affections. Even women did exchange the natural use, which was against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burning in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of evil, which was fitting. We don't talk much about AIDS. We don't talk about monkeypox. Did you notice that went like that? That's because the thing with monkeypox had to be male with male, female with female, and guess what? It could only be passed through sexual contact. And they say, well, let's not talk about that one. Why? Because notice this. Why? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. He gave them a mind, and all of a sudden their mind is messed up. Good is bad, bad is good, right is wrong, wrong is right, up is down, down is up. A reprobate mind. You just, what? Just leave God out. That's all you have to do. There's a God-shaped emptiness on the inside of everybody, and don't let it stop there, because guess what? Now we're going to talk about you guys. Notice what he says. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, strife, dissent, malignity, gossip, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, oh, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Strange thing, who knowing the judgment of God that commits such things are worthy of death? And guess what? They do the same thing with pleasure. They know that God hates it, and they do it anyway. But did you notice this? He starts out with heterosexual sex, homosexual, and then he gets down to people like us. Bitterness, anger, gossip, truce breakers, not worthy, we're disobedient to parents, without natural desires. You see, what happens is that once I leave God out, I've got to fill that emptiness with something. You don't know how many people I've counseled with that are full of bitterness and hatred and jealousy and envy and covetousness. They could. How much do you need? Just a little bit more. I don't understand National Football League players or basketball players whining around because they're only making $20 million a year. I don't know what the deal is. I'd work for a year and quit. Then I'd have more than I do even if I worked my whole lifetime. No, but it's like this. We think that covetousness, money is what makes you happy. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Having your own way doesn't make you happy. What's the problem? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. So God said, go ahead and do it. Do you want to be bitter? Go ahead. Do you want to live for money? Go ahead. But you'll never be happy. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, knew they were thankful, so God just gave them over. Heterosexual, homosexual, all kind of perversion, that's fornication, any type of sexual sin, all kind of stuff, wickedness, uncleanness. Go ahead and get hooked on heroin, on meth, on crystal meth. Go ahead. Does that make you happy? Go ahead. Exchange the truth of God for a lie. Believe all the lies out there. And guess what? It works. Why? Because they make an image unto themselves. They want to do what they think will make them happy. And the problem is that we as a society, I'll show you exactly what's going to happen when you leave God out of a society. Take a look at chapter 1 of the book of Romans. You wonder why we're in such a mess? It's because they're once again, as a society and as individuals, you leave God out, where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? But notice what he says. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's a power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in it is the righteousness of God revealed. You see, you want to be right with God? It's going to be through the gospel. And so what happens is that with all these things here, which produces emptiness, we have that which will give people life. And that's the gospel. The good news. Because if God is in here, guess what? All those other things I don't need. But anyhow, for those of you that want to know what I did this afternoon between 2 and 3, that's what I did. Yes, Frank. Huh? I know it. I said I was going to go to chapter 2, but I changed my mind. Let me tell you why I changed my mind. Chapter 2, the question was, if I am not saved by works, why does it say in chapter 2, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, that I am being judged by those things, whether they're right or whether they're wrong or what I do? And it's like I told the fella that there once again. When you get to, he's still talking about sin. That's the context. Chapter 2, he's talking about religious good people. People that were Jews. People that went to the Sabbath. And guess what? He says, don't be too hard on them. He says, you do the same thing. It may not be that degree, but we are all sinners. And so what he's saying is that all you church people, just cool your jets. Because such were some of you. But we've been washed and we've been sanctified and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's the other thing. I know exactly what they think. They have no idea what I think. I know exactly what they feel because I came to know Christ when I was 17. They have no idea how I feel. I know what it's like when you want nothing to do with the Word of God or the things of God. I know what it's like when you want things of God and the Word of God. When all of a sudden, instead of exchanging the truth of God for a lie, I'm going to take the truth. I'm going to take the truth. And if you live by the truth, I've never seen, like I said, I've never seen anyone sorry that they're a Christian, even though I've met thousands of sorry Christians. But I've never seen anyone say, oh, man, I sure hated that I came to know Jesus. You say, man, best thing ever happened to me is come to know Jesus. Why? Because all of a sudden that God-shaped emptiness is filled. And so what happens is that they may not have listed, but every person you see is trying to fill that God-shaped empty. Conscious lies, they know that there's something there. Creation-wise, man, there must be a God someplace, because I have another interesting thing Sunday. I'm going to talk about death. And death is a guarantee. Life's a gift. Do you realize that we are the only created entity that thinks about death? From the time you're born till the time you die. I had a dog. He died at 13. He didn't say, "Oh man, my days are getting a little bit weak here because I'm pretty shaky." He didn't even think about dying. Cats don't think about dying. Elephants don't think about dying. Wildebeest don't think about dying. Crocodiles don't think about. People do. People do. Let me tell you what's on the inside of people. I wonder what's beyond the grave. I don't care where you're at. Every religion has some way, whether it is recycling, and you just come back reincarnated into something, or whether you inherit 72 virgins when you get to heaven. I don't know what you're going to do with 72, because I had a tough time with one. But there's always this life beyond. Where'd you get that thought? Why is it that you can get to any place in the world, the darkest part of Africa, or the farthest place out in the jungle in Brazil, and these people still believe in God, and they believe in a life thereafter, and they believe in the Indians, the happy hunting ground? Where'd you get that? It's on the inside of you. Not only does man think about dying, because death is a guarantee. Every one of you here tonight is going to die unless Jesus comes back. Or unless you have a... Also, you're going to die naturally unless you have an accident of some kind or killed in war. There's only a couple ways out. But the other side of it is, then what? Then what? Well, you'll have to come back Sunday if you want to talk about death. Tonight, oh, by the way, that was just nothing more than an intro to Revelation 19. I told you last week we were going to finish it, and I lied. I about lied again. When we fight against God, what an intro do we have? You will lose. Revelation 19, verse 17 to 21. Revelation 19, verse 17 to 21. Well, we're going to talk about what President Biden mentioned this last week. It's called Armageddon. You didn't know he was going to talk about Armageddon, did you? Well, he did. He said what Putin is doing is setting up for an Armageddon. Well, let me tell you, Jack, this ain't too good, because he did get some negative replies from places like France, and if France gives you a negative reply, it must be negative. Okay, man is in a bigger warfare than the Middle East. Is it a bigger warfare than they have in Russia? And much of man and woman's restlessness is because of this conflict. Are you battling with God, or are you willing to surrender or yield up your rights? See, when we fight against God, we lose. What it says in Romans chapter 1, it's interesting. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Whenever you exchange the truth of God for a lie, you'll lose. Because we are not fighting just natural battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. That's the other side of it. there's at least two entities within this world. One's evil, one's good. The evil is Satan and all of his one-third of the angels that fell with him. The other side is good, and that's God and two-thirds of his angels. His angels are some way keeping charge, keeping an eye on us. I have no idea how or how this works. I think that whenever you're somewhere between 16 and 21 or 22, he says, keep a close eye on this guy because he's probably about going to kill himself. I mean, you do all kind of silly things. But the amazing thing is when you get this passage of Scripture, we need to be reminded that when we battle in America, we're battling, you can't battle against God. We're going to lose. We're going to lose. I don't know how to tell you this, but America is not found in prophecy. I just don't find it. Well, what about the eagle landing? I don't know about the eagle landing. The only thing I know is that I don't find it. Also, I find that if there is such a thing as a rapture, that once you take out several million, 20 million, 30 million people out of America, you're going to find a collapse overnight. So that's one thing. The other side of it is if we keep living exactly like we're living, in the next 20 years, you're going to have a socialist, communistic country called America. Well, you can't do that. You have the Constitution. Do you realize that they can vote the Constitution out? The only thing that saves our neck as a society is, what makes a nation? Borders, laws, language, culture. Start doing away with those in any country, and guess what? Do away with the borders, and you won't have a country. Do away with the laws, you won't have a country. Do away with the culture, because America has a unique culture. And so that we are heading down a path. Is it possible that we'll reverse it? I have no idea. They couldn't in Rome. And do you realize we are $31 trillion in the hole? And they don't want to tell me I'm broke? I don't know how to do this. I mean, if she was my wife, we'd be sitting up talking to Dave Ramsey or somebody saying, hey, we got a problem here because I can't balance my books. But what's going to happen to America? I don't know if we've gone so far in turning our back on God, because the other side of it, it's one thing when God acts against us. Now, he would never do that with so many Christians. Do you realize what he did with Isaiah? Do you realize what he did with Daniel? Do you realize what he did with Jeremiah? He just left them stay there. Oh! And the northern kingdom fell. The southern kingdom fell. Assyria took over. Babylon took over. And guess what? There were a lot of good, godly people. So just because there are good, godly people in a place, another sign that God says, okay. Okay. This is what you want? That's what he did. Did you see what he did in chapter 1? When you knew God, you glorify him, not God. He says, you want to do this? Okay. He just gave him over. Do you want to do this? Okay. Just do it. Now, you realize you're going to lose, but do it. And so what happens is, it's like this. Whenever man becomes the law and you bypass the law. See, that's the other thing that we're seeing right now that we haven't seen in a long time, and that is to bypass the law. It's like, do you realize that there should not be one person that's coming across the border that's coming across? Why? They're breaking the law. If you don't like the law, change the law. But there is a law. There are laws within our state. There are laws within. But what happens if we don't like the law? Just ignore them. It's like this. As a president, here's what I'll do. I'm going to forgive $10,000 of every one of your debts. Every one of your school debt. Did it come from Congress? No. Do you realize that Congress, have you ever taken government in high school? You have three branches, and you're nothing more than the legislature and the executive and you do judicial. Let me tell you what the executive branch does. Just carries out the orders that's already been given to him by the legislature, which is Congress. Now we come up with all these great ideas I'm going to write a... And you did what? I wrote 53 of them in my first few days. Where'd you have the right to do that? And so what happens then is that just bypass the law. Write whatever you want. See, And I've got this crazy thing. Before you tear down the fence, find out what it was put there to begin with. You'll find out what I mean in a minute. And that is that if we have a law that says to go a certain speed, you'll find that there's a reason that they put it there. If they say 55, they don't mean 85. Unless you're Dion, wife's driving. Scared her today because guess what? She says, oh no, the preacher's following me. And Dion says, take your foot off the pedal a little bit, honey. Let's go at least 53 in this 55-mile-an-hour zone. Well, I know. That's the only one because, but I think there again, I think we don't realize that lawlessness is, I often wondered how in the world the Antichrist called the man of lawlessness. He just does away with, doesn't it? There's no laws. He just makes his own. And what will happen in America is that if things continue, you may pack the Supreme Court, and so you end up getting your way because it's humanism. You may add a few more states, get what you want. What's going to be really funny is that now they don't know what to do because those that are Latinos are voting like 65% for the Republican, and that's going to shake everything up. And so oh, no, my calculations is wrong. If we let all these people in, everybody's going to vote for me. Do you realize that everything we have in our society, Democrat and Republican, is a lot to stay in power, not what's best for America? If they had any sense, of which they don't, they would just put in a bunch of farmers and say, okay, just your gut feeling, what do you think we ought to do? Well, I think we ought to not spend so much. Good, won't spend so much. I think we ought to cut this program because they're overlapping each other. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I think we ought to do away with the IRS and just have a single pay-as-you-buy thing. Okay, we'll do that. You mean do away with the IRS? Yeah. So, but the problem that we have within America, because of chapter 1, is we're fighting against God. And what God does is he doesn't come down and judge you immediately. He lets you go ahead and make those decisions. He lets you stick that needle in your arm, and then you wonder, why in the world am I hooked on heroin? He lets you go ahead and booze it up. Is that going to make you happy? Go ahead. You don't think that, go ahead and commit adultery. Go ahead. Just go ahead. It won't make you happy. So now what he does here, Armageddon is seen in verses 17 to 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourself together unto the unto the supper of the great God. Like I said, persecution happens all the time. The wrath of God happens occasionally. Persecution comes with non-Christians cutting off Christians' heads or doing something, and there's world people today that are under persecution. This is the wrath of God. This is when God says, I've had enough, and we're going to come to an end. Notice this, that you may eat the flesh of the kings and the captains and of the mighty men and of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and enslaved, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, that's the Antichrist, going to find out in chapter 20 and verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, handed the keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And guess what? And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. They bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he also cast the Antichrist. But anyway, that's for next time. He says, make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him and the false prophet, who wrought miracles before him, deceived them which received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These were cast alive in the lake of fire and brimstone. Realize these are the first two people in hell. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Remember, there's a white horse coming. Him that sat on. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Notice it is fatal. Here's the prelude. It says, it is dark. Let me tell you, it's a dark day The lights go out. The hope are gone. Dreams are gone. Possibilities fade. Negativism creeps in. Pessimism creeps in. Depression sets in. And what you find is when you leave God out, it's dark. It is dark, and it is deadly. Notice the proclamation in the second part of verse 17. Come, gather yourselves together to the great supper of the great God. Let me tell you, it's a deadly day when you fight against God, because death and deadness is all around, and there's never life, and life shovels up. I probably have learned this more than anything. We have Heal on Thursday night. If you know anybody that's struggling, especially fellows, we meet out at Eagle Ranch at 7 o'clock. We started on the February of 2015. One of the things that I've noticed is that if you stick a needle in your arm, you'll die. 2 years ago, in fact, just before the COVID thing hit, in 6 months, there's five people that I'd had in Heal died. All of them of an overdose. The number of years, for instance, like the reason that we started Heal was Billy Finello, Tommy Darrell, and Jesse Stokes. You know, out of the three, Jesse Stokes, this is 2015, so in November 2014, Jesse had come to know Christ, made a profession. Tommy Darrell, a great big 6'8", 300 pounds. I said, I haven't seen you here before. He says, I haven't been here before. And I said, oh, I said, that's really good. I said, where you been? He said, in prison. I said, oh, well, we won't go any further with that one. He's too big to ask any questions. And so he was dealing with drugs. And then Billy Finello, he was dealing with drugs. Tommy Darrell is dead. Billy Finello is dead. Let me tell you, it is deadly to buy the lie. I've seen homes destroyed. I've seen lives destroyed. I've seen all these things happen at those various things. You turn your back on God, and you accept the truth of God for a lie, and let me tell you, Satan is a liar. You better get back to the truth and see what happens. Notice that Jesus always gets the last word, because did you notice up until this time, Satan looks like he is having a heyday. We start out with the Antichrist. The Antichrist, he sets himself up in the temple to be worshipped as God. Great things are happening. He has everyone listening to what he says, doing what he wants them to do, worshiping the beast. Two-thirds or three-fourths of the world's population is wiped out. This fellow here, he has it all. But now he's going up and fight against God. You don't fight against God and win. It seems as though he is winning for a period of time. It seems as though today Satan is just having a heyday on planet Earth. One day God's going to say, that's enough. That's enough. And so the reason I wanted to start out with chapter 1 is because here's where you begin to see the things ending up. Notice this devouring in verse 18. And that ye may eat of the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and then it sat upon them. These vultures come down, and of all men, both free and enslaved, both small and great. This is a supper of death. With Satan, the bright lights, the thrill of the moment are there for a while. And mankind fights to the end. It devoured homes, lives, youth, the desire to go on, the desire to get out of bed, the desire to make a marriage work, the desire to get grades. Let me tell you, you hurt yourself. But Satan has a great way of doing that. If you'll notice here, it affects anybody and everybody. At one time, they were had everything going for them. Notice the last of verse 18. All men, both free and slave, both small and great. You see, to battle against God is popular. But just because it's popular doesn't make it right. Everyone is battling against God. Politics, Hollywood, Wall Street, mass media, social media, the educational system. They all will fail. They'll be successful for a time. You see, all those things that I have listed there are those things that have decided. They have decided the battle against God. And what happens is we see it all around. And we don't ever associate what's going on in America. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And he says, go ahead. And we are seeing what happens to a nation. We say, we look at it, Democrat, Republican. I hate to say it, the Republicans aren't any more godly in a lot of ways than what the Democrats are. You say, oh my, who am I going to vote for? Okay, here is Pastor Tull's walking back there, so I'll just tell him too. Because he doesn't like me talk politics. So that's good, I won't. We have a booklet out there, and I'll make it really simple. If you like the direction that President Biden is going, vote for the Democrat. If you don't, vote Republican. But vote. That's the bottom line. Because if you have a Democrat senator, he will vote. What's Casey done? Every time he's voted for whatever the president wants. So it's like this. Do you like that direction? Do you like what's happening? Do you like the direction of America? Do you like the economic situation? Do you like the borders? Do you like all these things? And oh, by the way, the big issue is not abortion. Stop and think, how much has abortion affected your life in this last year? How much has a gas pump affected your life in this last year? How much has inflation affected your life in this last year? I'm just saying, but it's like this. I think we make it way too complicated. If you really believe that the government is an end-all, then vote Democrat. I'm not kidding. You say, well, I don't like either one of them. Then stay home, I guess. I don't know. But I think everybody ought to vote. That's one of the privileges of being in a democracy. But I think there again, I think that we need to realize we have some big issues that's going on in America. But neither party is the answer. God is the answer. And you leave God out of a home, you leave God out of a family, you leave God out of a nation, and you're going to have a hopeless nation that doesn't know which way they're going, and they're going to be eaten up by the birds that's around them. And you can just look at America and watch those birds eat the flesh of our homes, our family, and our kids. It's one of those things that I think that so often we make it more complicated than it is. The real issue is in America we need a revival, and it needs to start at Pennsville Baptist Church. It needs to start in me. I need to have Jesus Christ in the right place in my life. You need to have Jesus Christ in the right place in your life, because no matter who is voted in nor what system of government, you have to realize that this was written when John was put on the Isle of Patmos, Roman government. They say that he was boiled in oil. So it's like this. He wrote in one of the darkest times. The New Testament was written in one of the darkest times. How much do you hear him say against the government? You mean there's something bigger going on? That's right. We need to get our hearts right with God. The other side of it is don't be too surprised when lost people act like lost people. Don't try to cram your theology and your God down somebody's throat that doesn't want it. It's really tough. Because the other side of it is that we do not live in a theocratic kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is not happening. Any place in the world. And so it's not a political system. And so what does happen? I need to we're on a sinking ship, and I need to get as many people in the lifeboat as possible. Because let me tell you, this sucker's going to go down. And guess what? What's changed in our life? Nothing. But you lost your house. You lost your retirement. You lost everything. What's everything? You'll still have that which is important. My relationship to Jesus Christ, the good news that will change lives, and hearts are hurting, bruised, and broken because of sin. Realize that Satan is out to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Here's the end of it, though. This guy looks like, I mean, the Antichrist and the false prophet looks like they're winners. Notice it is futile. Verse 19 to 21. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and his armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse. Boy, I'll tell you, to fight against God, something else. In verse 21, and the remnant were slain with a sword of him that sat upon the horse and proceeded out of his mouth. How foolish for man to think that he can fight against God. First of all, its extent. It's worldwide. Man's rebellion against God is worldwide. It's warfare. Expectations. It was so in Christ's earthly ministry. If they hated me, they will hate you. It's awfully hard for us to get it through our heads that people that do not know Jesus Christ have no idea what you're talking about. And if they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. That's just what happens. It would seem as though that everybody would want somebody that's good and decent and honest, but notice this, there's discouragement. Satan is in the discouragement business, division business, discord business, and I could put another business, depression. He loves to battle hit people with depression. Satan wants to discourage the leadership, divide the membership, and render the whole thing powerless. And so it is in every church. He wants to discourage the leadership, divide the membership, and let me tell you, he is at work all the time.
Did you hear the songs they sang Sunday? Did you see how long that preacher preached? Man, I tell you, I wish you'd quit talking about sin. It's like, okay. I want to discourage the leadership, divide the membership, and then renders the whole thing powerless. You'll find it's the same thing, too, within your home. He wants to discourage the leadership. Mom and Dad, Satan's out to whip you, out to get you. Divide the family. Divide the people. And then at that time, guess what? You're powerless. He loves to do that with your kids. Well, Mom said I could. Ah, good. What'd your dad say? I don't know. Mom said I could. Go to Dad. What'd Mom say? Mom said I could. Well, then do it. You've already said no three times. Kids are wonderful at dividing the leadership within a home. They are masters at it. They know when to say it, when not to say it. And I'll tell you what's really cool. I'm glad George is back tonight. He had a little kid that was throwing a hissy fit on Sunday morning, but they don't throw those anymore. He was just expressing himself in a very dramatic way. No, no, no. That was on a good day. And you know what George did? He laid his Bible up there on the coat rack, and he left it. I would have, too. I thought, oh, my goodness. Why in the world did the kid do it on Sunday right in church? He does it at home, too, but let me tell you, in front of all these people. It's because Satan wants to discourage you. He wants you two to get each other's throat. He'll do anything he can to divide and conquer. And he loves to divide and conquer. And so guess what? One day, Jesus Christ is going to make everything new. And we're waiting for that day. But until that time, George is going to have to tie a knot in that kid's tail eventually. But anyway, that's another story. But if you fight against God, you're going to lose. Because notice it is final. It will end. In verse 20, and the beast was taken with the false prophet, who wrought miracles before him, and deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. No matter how big, no matter how powerful, no matter how important, no matter how I don't know what that word is, you are, God says, that's it. It's over. So in your life, Satan can come this far and no further. Their destiny, it will be eternal. Everyone will spend an eternity somewhere. A lifelong battle with God ends. Payday, someday. But that day always arrives. Are you battling God? Surrender, or you're going to lose. But anyway, we have 6 minutes. And if you could ask one question, what would it be? Notice I gave 6 minutes because I'll have about a 4-minute answer.
Oh, next week, by the way, we'll start chapter 20. It's kind of good. Ends kind of bad. Great white throne judgment, and they're going to live somewhere. Stop and think. Have you bought the lie, or are you living according to the truth? Whenever you have a situation, you don't know what to do, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? Let God be true and every man a liar. It's kind of interesting because what we have today that we worship is science. Only thing somebody has to say is science. Well, science says. What happens when science doesn't say? What happens when science contradicts the conclusions that they've come to? It's no longer science. There's no more variables. It's a conclusion. Once you come to a conclusion, then there again, you've already got your mind made up. It's the same way. I love this thing with global warming. What do you believe in global warming? I believe that there's about 40 days in a row in which we had more sun activity than we've had in the last 50 years. Did you ever wonder why it's so hot out west? It's because we had sun activity. Well, I thought it was going to be global warming and climate change. Then they'll say, well, don't take whatever's happening right at the moment, because that's because it doesn't go along with their theory or their philosophy. Do I believe the climate is changing? Yeah, and hang in there, and here's what will happen. In 100 years, the temperature will go up 2 degrees. If it's really bad, it may be 3. If you live in my house, the temperature changes more than that every day. Right. And if I smart off to my wife, it really gets cold. I'm just saying. I don't even have to have global warming or cooling. The only thing I can do is just turn the temperature down by saying something stupid, which is quite often. But I think what happens within our life is we buy it. It's called gaslighting. That was a film that came out in 1949. And this fella convinced his wife that she was crazy. She wasn't crazy. He just said everything about us crazy. We have been sold a bill of goods. It happened, by the way, if you want to know what happened, take a look at COVID. A whole society bought it without questioning. Now they're still trying to get me to get a shot in my arm. Now, if they say they have one, it'll take care of a kidney stone, I'll say, here, stick one in both arms. That's okay, I'm a big wimp. But it may not work. You get a kidney stone, and you don't even care if it works or not, you'll believe a lie. You just hope that you're good. And ask Rick, he's going to have one taken out, I think, tomorrow, right? That's right. He has the great news that no matter what I do, they're going to keep coming. But if he could get a shot, here's what's happened, though. If someone who has authority says it loud enough and long enough and keeps you away from all the other information, you'll believe it. You'll believe it. The problem is that it's like when we were up at camp, we could convince some kid that he had a concussion and he came out of it, and you could have a doctor from Princeton, Harvard, or Yale that's in there, and then he could read his charts. And you give that guy about 2 or 3 weeks, he'll think he really had a concussion and is really, really had a bad way of doing it. Until then, guess what? Some kid walks into your room and says, man, isn't this camp great? We just went fishing and we just shot a whole lot of... Guy says, what? You gotta keep a kid out, because if you have any other information, they might find out that you see, there's one thing about being my age with climate change. We just called it weather. That's it. We had weather. Some summers it would be so dry we wouldn't even have to mow after June. Other summer, I moved up there to Abnormalville. We had snow from December to March on the ground. I haven't had it any more than that yet since. Well, it must be climate change. No, it's weather. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes you have a... Now, are we affected by wind current? Yes. Are you affected... We're especially affected by solar. If someone would just tell me what's going on in the sun, I can just about tell. Fact is, it was so bad that they thought that reception may be interrupted here on Earth. It was that bad. But nobody ever says anything. We had forest fires when I was out in Oregon. 3 million acres burned. Well, see, look at all these fires. Let me tell you why they had fires. Three generations of firemen got online. He says, well, my grandpa, when he was here, he said if they don't start doing forest management, this thing's going to be a tinderbox in about 30 or 40 years. So guess what? All these tree huggers quit cutting out used to they would cut out forests and they would pile it into a pile, burn it up so that there wasn't anything. But now they quit doing all that. No one ever says anything about that except until you talk to a firefighter, and a firefighter says, let me tell you why we're having, they didn't even mention when they had 3 million acres on fire, they didn't even mention about global warming. They said, we have stopped forest management. Oh, we don't want to hear that. That's why we have fire. And guess what? Washington, Oregon, California, our tinderbox. But guess what? We'll just gaslight you and keep telling you this and keep telling you that, and eventually you're going to think that it works. Here's the other thing that's happened within us as a nation. There is no God. And guess what? Race and racism is real. And we also have this thing called sexual identity. It's real. Now let's keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Don't let anybody give you any other story. Don't let somebody like a Candace Owen that's a chocolate drop get on television and say, guess what? I am so blessed. I have not seen racism. And what it's a great country. Keep that message out. Here's the thing that's bad. Jesus Christ is not the only way to God. There is no God. Say it loud enough and long enough. Start with a kid in about the first grade. By the time he gets out of college, he'll believe there is no God. He'll believe that the government and the communist system is the way to go. And he'll believe that the Bible is nothing more than a series of myths. And guess what? He'll take the truth of God and exchange it for a lie. And you'll wonder why in the world the country, the families, and the nation are going the way they are. God has the last word. Our Father, I thank you so very much. But I need to keep my eyes upon you and not upon politics. I need to keep my eyes upon you and not on everything that's happening around me. May I know the truth so that I also know when something's a lie. In Jesus' name, amen.